Well, thank you, Pastor Andy, for having me here, and Sheris, and really delighted to be in this building with you all. I hope you'll be able to understand me. Yeah, so far good? Yeah, good. And I can understand all of you, so that's really good, because I've had a week's practice, and it's been awesome. I already look out on this place and see some people who have come on mission to Ireland, and I want to thank you for what you've already done there. Bringing the gospel to us. And it really, you wouldn't believe how that just thrills our hearts that people would come through Caris Bible College, yes, of course, but come all that way and choose to come to Ireland on mission. And I'm just so happy that you came, because every time you come, you make such a big difference in Ireland as you bring the truth of the gospel and the grace of the gospel. And it just reminds me that we are a New Testament church, and that we can have people come and just bring the good news the way that Jesus would have wanted us to. So that is awesome. And I thank you for that. And I bring prayers and love to you from Ireland today. The guys in college and over in Caris Bible College in Belfast, they know that I'm here today. They know that I'm sharing today. And they're praying for you. And they're praying for me. So it's amazing, the family of God, and how it stretches around the world. It's just awesome. And it was a privilege today to be at the ordination of Chris and Lisa, who are dear friends of mine. And I believe that's just a great day, and they're rejoicing in heaven. And, you know, they're going to make an impact, and they're going to come to the Northern Isles, which is right up in Scotland. And Ireland and Scotland, we're really linked very well. And I just believe that I'll be partnering with them, and I'll look after them when they come over and encourage them, and God will look after us all. And they're just the first fruits coming over, and I believe there will be more. And I just thank God for that they're coming. And God is just doing an amazing thing. So I thought today that I would share a little bit in music, because that's how I like to love on God, and also share the word. So I'm going to go to the keyboard in a moment and sing a song that really means a lot to me, one of the first ever Christian songs that I ever heard. And then I'm going to share a couple of songs that God gave me. So I hope that you'll enjoy that. And then I'll come back and we'll have some word and break the bread of the word together. So, amen.
Rushing wind blow through temple, blowing out the dust within. Come and breathe your breath upon me. I've been born again. Separate me from this world, Lord. Sanctify my life for you. Daily change me to your image. Help me bear good fruit. Jesus, you're the one who set my spirit. Your holy name
God is so good. I love that, blowing out the dust within, blowing out everything that's not of him, and he'll replace it with his spirit and his power and his love and his grace.
I never thought I could feel a love so strong. Everything within my life was going wrong. The way I felt inside, I could not carry on. Your love broke through. Now I've got you, Jesus. I never thought I could feel so secure. Satan ruled my heart. All I knew is fear. The comfort of this world could not dry my tears. Now you hold on, Lord. Your grip is so strong. Jesus, I'd be lost without you. And I love you, Jesus, my precious Jesus. I love you, Father, but you first love me. I love you, Jesus, my precious Jesus. I love you, Father, but you first love me. Thought I could find reality. All the world had to offer me was just a fantasy. I grasped out for the truth and it seemed out of my reach. But Lord, you came to me with salvation so free. I was once so blind, now I see. And I love you, Jesus, my precious Jesus. I love you, Father, but you first love me. I love you, Jesus, my precious Jesus. I love you, Father, but you first love me. I never thought I could feel a love so strong. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I never thought I could find reality. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I never thought I could feel a love so strong. I love you, Jesus, my precious Jesus. I love you, Father, but you first. And when you're weary, alone and in despair, deep inside your heart, you feel that no one's there. Going through your troubled times, it's hard to find the strength to fight. Because of who you are, you keep going on. Feel you should not give up. You look for hope each day. Tomorrow could be brighter than dark yesterdays. Remember when you're going through all those people that encourage you. Jesus is not very far away. shine upon the shepherd's shoulders. His back is broad enough to bear the strain. Climb upon the shepherd's shoulders. He'll hold you tight within his arms. He'll ease your pain. Rest a while, he'll carry you and give you grace to see it through. He'll set you down into the flock again. But for now, why don't you climb upon his shoulders? The light that once burned brightly is now only a spark. It could rekindle to shine out in the dark. Let Jesus come with holy flame and set your torch alight again, that you may shine before all men till he comes back again. Just climb upon the shepherd's shoulder. Climb upon the shepherd's shoulders. He'll hold you tight within his arms. He'll ease your pain. Rest a while, he'll carry you and give you grace to see it through. Set you down into his flock again. Why don't you climb upon his shoulders? Climb upon the shepherd's shoulders. He'll carry you. He'll carry you. Climb upon the shepherd's shoulders.
Everything that I write, it's about an experience that I've gone through. The first song about the testimony, I never thought I could feel a love so strong. That's my testimony. I never thought I could find reality. I never thought I could feel so secure. But he thought I could. He knew I could. He brought it to me, salvation, and by grace. And it's awesome. So thank God for that. And I really want to take you to a place today. I want you to imagine, in your godly imagination, Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we can look at that in Revelation. We're going to go there in a minute. But before we go there and read it in the scripture, I just want to get you in that zone to say, okay, we're here. We're in this beautiful church and the best view I've ever seen out of a church window. It's awesome. But I want you to look further than that, and that looks majestic to me. But I want you to fix your eyes on Jesus and think about him. Think about him seated at the right hand of the Father. And he sat down and he said, "It is finished." And he's there and he's glorified and he's risen. And yes, he still bears the scars. He still bears the scars so that we'll know. But that's a testimony. It's so prophetic every day in people's lives. So I want to go, and don't worry in a sense about following the scripture, but just listen, because there's a lot of scripture here today. But I entitled this message, Present Yourself. Before we present ourselves, I really want to look at Jesus and see how he now presents himself. Our passage this morning is found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 onwards. And I may be using the King James here, and I might go into the Message Bible. So you just have to bear with me. And I will share a wee bit of testimony in the middle of all of this, I'm sure. But in verse 8, the master declares, I am A to Z, or A to Z, as you guys say. I am A to Z. I'm the beginning and the end. Think of yourself as a child when you had to learn the alphabet and you thought, I'll never do that. I will never do that. And you got the first few letters and then you got to the end and before you knew it, you can say it. You know, that's something that we have to learn, the A to Z. And within those letters, A to Z, everything I speak comes out of that narrative. Some people can say it backwards, but I can't. You know, but God created that A to Z. He created that you learned as a child. I am A to Z. I am the God who is, the God who was, and the God about to arrive. The sovereign, strong. And I'm sure that's out of the Message Bible. And I love that. Some people are afraid of the word sovereign, you know, in case that they might hand all of their decision-making processes as a Christian over to God. But I'm glad that he's sovereign. I am glad that he holds us together, that he holds the world together. And the things that he have put in place is still there as a testimony for us. In verse 10, John says, it was Sunday and I was in the Spirit praying. I heard a loud voice behind me, trumpet clear and piercing. Now don't forget, we're to imagine that. We're to imagine that we're in heaven and looking at Jesus and how he presents himself. It was Sunday. I was in the Spirit praying. I heard a loud voice behind me, trumpet clear and piercing. And verse 12 says, I love this. Just wait for this in this translation. It says, I turned. You can imagine turning if you heard a loud voice, trumpet piercing. I turned and saw the voice. I turned and saw the voice. Whose voice? Well, let's look and see. In Matthew 3, verse 17, it says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, we all know this is the voice of God speaking from heaven. And I see this as the Father's heart being revealed as he declares how he feels about the Lord Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. It was so amazing. It was so wonderful that God's voice broke through the clouds and we got to hear it. Now, some people may see this as scripture being fulfilled, and it is. But I see it as a loving Father shouting, that's my Son. That's my Son. That's my Son, in whom I am well pleased. I really love that. Now, the Kenneth Weiss translation, which some of you guys might have read on the New Testament, it says, this is my Son. Now, this was a real revelation to me. I mean, we can understand that God is well pleased with him at that time when he's going through the waters of baptism by John. That's really good. That's good enough. But this translation said, and this really got me, it said, this is my Son in whom I am always pleased. Now, that's the difference, isn't it? In whom I am always pleased. That's a relationship between God the Father and God the Son. As God once again speaks out loud from heaven and about his Son, once more we see that he is pleased with him. I never knew that in my Christian life, my early Christian life. I got born again at the age of 16 in my front room. I got down on my knees and I said, God, if you're really up there, come down and live in me. And even though he did, it was awesome. Before that, I knew about God. I was always drawn to God, always drawn to the church. I was born in a very religious country, Ireland. There's a church on every corner. Some of the guys that have been over on mission trip will tell you that. A church on every single corner. And but yet, it's really hard to find Jesus amongst all of that. I grew up in really with not much church until I went to England. And I went to England to live, and I immediately went to the village church, which was the Church of England, High Church of England, in a tiny Cotswold village down in the south of England. And there I started to enjoy church. I became a choir boy, a chorister. If you've ever seen those guys with their little ruffs and their robes and their medals, that was me. And very cute and very high-pitched voice. And I loved that. I totally loved that. Then I became an altar boy and I went to the altar and helped the priest serve the communion. And I used to love that. And I became an acolyte, which was lighting and putting out candles at certain times in the service. And then I also did some bell ringing in the church tower. Anything that I could do, I did. And one day they said, "Would you like to be confirmed?" I said, "I would love to be confirmed." And I went through all the classes. And when my confirmation came around, I was 11. And there was a very important man coming to the church, the Archbishop of the Church of England, the Archbishop of Canterbury. And that's the highest role in the Church of England. And because we were in a royal parish, he came to do our confirmation. And I remember he came down through the church in all his finest robes and his pointy hat and swinging the incense and a big shepherd's crook and everything going on. It was amazing. And I remember getting down on my knees and being confirmed. And he put his hand like this, very high up in the air, and he came down. And I just watched it as an 11-year-old kid coming down. And then it just went, rested on my head. And when it rested on my head, the Spirit of God, I believe, came upon me. And I knew I knew God was real. I knew that he loved me. I knew that he was there. But that was the only understanding that I had. But then when I turned 16, I was back in Ireland again. Back in a very religious country, and I knew that God was calling me. I had a conviction. I've got to get right with God. I've got to get right with God. Something inside me was pointing me, I've got to get right with God. And I knew that I would have no peace until I said yes. And all I could imagine was the bell tower in that church and God being at the back of the altar, you know, not approachable or whatever. But at that stage, I didn't have much religion. I just had conviction and I said, "God, if you're real, will you come and live inside of me?" And he did. And I was really nervous kid. I had no confidence in anything much, and he poured so much into me and I really love him. So moving on, this is a New Testament narrative and we can let these truths in the word be written upon our hearts today. So the first truth that I want to be written on our hearts today is that God is pleased with his son, Jesus Christ. God is always pleased with his son, Jesus Christ. What would be the effect on a human being when God speaks out loud about his son? Well, verse 6 reveals it. And I'm not sure where I'm going in the scripture, but I'll read it out. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and they were sore afraid. And I think that was on the Mount of Transfiguration. You see, they fell on their face and they were sore afraid. And it actually means highly alarmed, struck with amazement, and put to flight. So you just want to get out of there. You know, sometimes there's such a holiness. Have you ever felt it? Such a holiness of God around that the fear of the Lord can come on you. And you know, when you're a Christian and you're in love with Jesus, you've got a confidence in you and you can stand. But they had never felt anything like that before. Totally amazing. And Jesus came when they fell down on their face as if dead, and he touched them and he said, "Arise and be not afraid." Now, I really like that sort of ministry, that even when you're standing in the presence of a holy God and these things are happening and your flesh is weak and you feel like you're going to die, Jesus still puts his hand down and raises you back up again. And a lot of us have been there in life through circumstances. Mark this, that when they lifted up their eyes again, if they dared to even lift up their eyes, they saw no man but Jesus only. Now, I think that's really good because that just points us straight to Jesus. You know, we can all be on a spiritual journey to accept Jesus, and then it's just all about Jesus. Now, the church will try and tell you different. Religion will try and get you to do it another way. And if you're way over there, you need to come back in and let it be Jesus only. In Mark 15, verse 33, it says, "And when the sixth hour was come, behold, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." You see, there was a massive presence of God, a massive anointing, a massive work being done on the earth when Jesus was on the cross. And the whole earth went dark. You know, even the very atmosphere and things that were normal, things that were sovereign, started to bow because they knew what was going to happen. They knew that this was the big change. This was a New Testament. In verse 34, it says, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which has been interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we've went there very quickly, because a moment ago we were saying, this is my son in whom I'm always pleased. I'm thinking about the beautiful connection, the lovely relationship that the father has with the son, like they've always been together forever, from the beginning of whatever the beginning was. From before, well, I can't go there because my brain would explode. But there is a contrast here as we see the disciples fall down alarmed at the presence and the voice of God, which we've just read. And then Jesus crying out with a loud voice at the absence of his father. What a contrast. The disciples falling down in front of God as his glory is revealed. And that was normal for him. That was Jesus normal. And then it was totally abnormal for him to be separated from the Father. And that's why he cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, there was so much going on at this time in the spiritual realm as the next cry of Jesus' mouth was, it is finished. Now, that's a really powerful word that's still alive today. It's still prophetic today. And it still works today. It is finished. He did finish it. And as the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, a way was opened into God's presence that we today can come into his presence boldly. And in case you didn't realize it, you've already done that today. Coming into this building, praying, worshiping the Lord, and his presence is here because when you came in, he came in. He's all around us. He's in us and he's through us. In him we move and have our being. And when we can come and worship him and know who he is, the risen Savior, it is so powerful. Now I'm going to take us back into the heavenly vision of John. We read in Mark 16, verse 19, it says, so then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. So that's where it's documented, that after he had given the disciples that commission and spoken to them. And can you imagine what that was going to be like for them? You're going now. I know you've talked about it. I know you've tried to point the way. I know you've tried to warn us, but you're going. And you know what? It was better that he went. Why was it better that he went? So that he could send the Spirit. And you know, we have the Holy Spirit with us today, our helper, our comforter, our friend, the Holy Spirit that gives us power to witness on the inside, that Jesus is talking to us, that the Word is talking to us, and we have power on the inside. We witness that he lives in us because we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Now, Revelation 1, verse 17, it says, I saw this and fainted dead at his feet. Now, John saw the vision of Jesus, the risen Christ. It talks about his hair being as white as wool. It talks about his eyes being like a fire, his mouth being like a two-edged sword, and he just worked down the body. And, you know, that had an amazing effect on them. On him, he said, I saw this and fainted dead at his feet. And then, again, we see the ministry of Jesus. His right hand pulled me upright, and his voice reassured me. I love that. He said, and I want you all to take this in, because we are imagining that we are literally seeing this. Don't fear. Now, I can say it, but I want you to imagine that Jesus has said it. Don't fear. Don't fear. I am first. I am the last. So can you see that his nature just never changes? Verse 18, this is the part where he presents himself and he says, I'm alive. I'm alive. I died, but I came to life. My new life is now forever. See these keys in my hand? They open and lock death's doors. They open and lock hell's gates. So when he was crying out on the cross, it is finished. And when he cried out about the Father forsaking him, but there was so much going on in the spiritual realm there, where he went down and he set the captives free and he loosed them. And he's holding the keys, guys. He still holds the authority. He is the risen Christ. it is finished and it is done, and the devil knows it. All of hell knows it. All of those demons know it. That liar, Satan himself, knows it. But the thing is, he's afraid that maybe we might get to know it, that we might get to know that truth. He doesn't want you to find out, but he's been exposed today. And we're lifting up Jesus in this room. So how are we today able to know and understand that vision from John? Well, there's good hope. I talked about the Holy Spirit coming when Jesus left. He didn't leave us as orphans without. He didn't leave us. Revelation 2 verse 7 says, "Are your ears awake?" I didn't know they could go to sleep, but they can. "Are your ears awake? Listen, listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches." Now that's the Message Bible, but for him who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now that's prophetic. He says, "I'm about to call each conqueror to dinner. I'm spreading a banquet of tree of life fruit, a supper plucked from God's orchard." Now you can remember Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. And I, as a kid in Sunday school, I thought that was terrible. I didn't like it. I had a storybook and two big angels with flaming swords in it. And even as a kid who was maybe 7 or 8, the little bit of Sunday school that I got, nobody told me that was good, that they went out of the garden. Because if they had stayed in the condition that they were and ate of the tree of life, then they would have just been like that forever. But it was good. In Revelation, I just said, "I'm about to call each conqueror to dinner. I'm spreading a banquet of tree of life fruit." So it's good to eat, you know, because the job is done. The work is over. The battle is won. Jesus has won it for us. He's conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. That's salvation. This is how Jesus has presented himself in Revelation. Revelation 2, verse 26, it said, "Here's the reward I have for every conqueror, every one who keeps at it, refusing to give up. You'll rule the nations." You know, we have an authority today that whatever nation we go into, that we can bring Jesus, that we can bring that hope, that we can bring that love. And the moment that you step into a nation, you're pushing against a lot of spiritual stuff in a different kingdom. You're pushing against maybe principalities and powers. But even they know that you're coming. And they can see a light in you that you can't see. You see, Jesus was on that Mount of Transfiguration and he let it all out. You know, I think it's time as believers to accept it. Accept our identity in Christ, that in us dwells Jesus Christ in all his fullness. In us dwells the Holy Spirit in all his power. And a God stamp, you know, the Spirit of God. And we carry that. We carry that wherever we go. We're conquerors in Christ. Revelation 3 verse 5 says, "Conquerors will march in the victory parade, their names indelible in the book of life." No one's going to rub your name out. It's indelible in the book of life. And it's there because God called you. And it's his delight. He wrote your name in that book before you were even named. Isn't that awesome? And when I say that, I'm not going into some doctrinal area. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. He never wished that. So we're getting a picture of the risen Christ and the risen believer seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Think about that. The risen Christ and the risen believer, in a sense, because we have been risen with him, buried with him, you know, all of that. So you may be sitting here and you say, "Yes, I agree with you, Alan. I know that that's my position today." Or maybe you're yet to move into that position. But I believe God's calling you to move into that position, to get a revelation. Now, Revelation 3, verse 18, I think that's 18, yeah. "I counsel thee," now I want you to listen to this because I believe this is like God just speaking directly to his church by the word. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. See, that is God taking care of us. He said, it's making it really obvious. It's basically come to Jesus. He's got everything that you need. He is your source. He's your breath. He's your life. He's the reason why you're here. Come to him. Come to him. When he counsels us, obviously there's maybe a lack somewhere. Maybe there's a need somewhere. Maybe there's a want. And he's counseling us. He's a wonderful counselor. Come to me. The things that he'll give us will never perish and they'll never fade away. They don't have that earthly decay upon them. Lots of things that we gather up in our lives and lots of things that we scramble after will go. They will go in the end. But Jesus says, come to me and buy of me gold that's already been tried in the fire. So it's pure gold. There's no dross. Gold without the dross is pure, richly supplied with Christ's resources. White raiment, a sign of purity, a heavenly white garment worn by angels and those that are exalted. Nakedness covered, i.e., I put down i.e., the flesh is covered. Our nakedness has been covered. You know, God always wanted to cover us. He helped Adam and Eve out with that. But now we can stand actually naked and unashamed in his presence because God doesn't see us after our flesh, but after the Spirit. He sees Jesus on the inside of you, and that's all that he sees. Nakedness is covered, not seen in the flesh anymore. He sees us in who we are in Christ. So buy your clothes from me, he says. You've gone around half naked long enough. And maybe that's the people that are not just quite sure that God really loves them. They're not quite sure that it was enough. Maybe they're not quite sure because they keep looking at themselves. If you keep looking at yourself, you're going to trip yourself up because you're not going to see where you're going. And you're going to be navel-gazing sort of thing. And you know what? That just, when I look down my shirt now, I believe Jesus is in there. That's a better picture than what I had before. You know, that's a truth. That's come alive in me, and it can come alive in you. Buy your clothes from me. You've gone around half naked long enough. Clothes designed in heaven. That's awesome, isn't it? Never go out of fashion, man, because they're going to last for eternity. And that, we can't comprehend that. Behold, I stand. We've heard this before, but he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. There's an invitation. Are your ears awake? Listen to the wind words of the Holy Spirit blowing through the churches. Now, Revelation 3:21 says, conquerors will sit down alongside me at the head table, just as I, having conquered, took the place of honor at the side of my Father. That's the gift of the conquerors. Now, this narrative is in heaven, describing Christ, describing the risen, glorified Christ and our position in him. Sure, he sees us as a finished work. Let's hold fast to what we have and let no one steal our crown, because he made it for you and it's yours. Don't let the devil steal it. Don't let religion steal it. Don't let your neighbor steal it. Romans, we're going into Romans now. Now, in a sense, we have looked at Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, but quickly, I want to just bring it back down to earth, okay? So, this is going to be very familiar to us all, because we're all human beings. Romans 6, verse 12 says, let not sin, and when I think of sin, I think of us missing the mark, okay? Not an individual deed that we might have done, but let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lusts thereof. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way that you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Remember, you've been raised from the dead in God's ways of doing things. That's awesome. Sin cannot tell you how to live. We are not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. Verse 13 says, neither yield, and I want to change that word to present, neither present ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield, present yourselves unto God, as this is really powerful, get this line, as those that are alive from the dead. You got to present yourself today to God as those that are alive from the dead, already risen with him, as instruments of righteousness unto God. The key word here is yield, which means present. And, you know, when you present something, you've already prepared it, it's ready to go, and you present it. Okay? Think of Luke 2:22. Mary presented herself before the priest when the time was right and brought Jesus. And that was a great time. He was presented in the temple. Now, he has now reversed that and become our great high priest and before our Father, and he sees us as conquerors. We may not see ourselves as crucified with Christ, buried with him, and raised with him. But if we don't see that, then the problem is we may be still looking at ourselves in the flesh, the old man. Now, I used to think I had two natures fighting the bit out, as we say in Belfast, really turn the head of each other, trying to win to get in the front. One day I would be good, and the next day I would be bad. One day I'd be happy, the next day I'd be sad. One day I'd be a conqueror, the next day I'd be defeated. All dependent on Alan Bruce, all dependent on how many church meetings I went to, how long I prayed, how many times I read the Bible, you name it, I did it to get there. I was really trying hard to love God. But Romans 6, verse 6 says, know this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. So it's not the old man that we present unto God. It's not the old man that we present unto God. We are offering ourselves in the light of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, not that our flesh may be crucified, but considered already crucified. That's really different. And risen from the dead as alive. Yield yourself unto God as alive. Present yourself unto God as alive. Both the death and resurrection side of the cross can be accepted by faith. You've got to get this by faith. You may not see it, but I believe that God has given us a gift of his faith that we can accept this. And that's the first time that you get the gift of faith is really for salvation. When this point is reached, our acceptance that Jesus died for us, for our sins, he conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave, we have given our old life for his brand new life. Then we give ourselves to him. Then, in fact, he is my life. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in us, in me. So we are fit to be presented and consecrated to God. When Lisa and Chris got up today, they're fit to be presented and consecrated to God. Now, I've got to know them. I've actually stayed in their house for a week. I have. And you guys that know them, we'll know that that's been a joyous experience, her hospitality and all the rest of it. But there are moments within that week that I could look around and say, didn't expect that, or, you know, I'm joking with them. Now, I can look at, I think they're amazing, so to me, I'm biased. But the thing is, the best thing about those two is they look like Jesus. They sound like Jesus. They act like Jesus. Now, I'm sure if I went instead with you, that would be exactly the same. Because we're all brethren, and Jesus lives on the inside of us. But you know, I've got to see them after the Spirit. And something inside me, the Spirit of God inside me, witnesses on the inside of me that they are called, that they are born of the Spirit, that they are his, and none other. You see, their old man is dead. So when they come up here today and they presented themselves, you might say, they're the super dupers. They're the ones that have got up there. One day I'll get there. It's just a matter of consecration. And, you know, we can afford to do that when we look on the inside of us and see the gold and see the white raiment and see all of the things that he has clothed us in, clothes designed in heaven. We can stand before God as a new creature in Christ Jesus. And this is so powerful, presented as alive from the dead. Only standing before him in the truth of what God's word has said about us in Christ. We are already a living sacrifice. Now that verse, Romans 12, verse 1, you know, before I ever got a Bible, I woke up one morning and God spoke to me in my left ear and he says, Alan, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I didn't even know there was a Romans. And I knew there might be a Bible in the house, but this wasn't long after I'd given my life over to Jesus. So went down the stairs and I had a rummage around in my mother's wall unit. And there's a blue Bible there. It was covered in dust. A couple of electric bills fell out of it. And I flicked my way through, tiny print. It's me, if this is so good, why is the print so small? You know? And there I was. I actually got a magnifying glass and started to do this to try and find Romans. Even though I'd been in the Church of England for a long time, the Bible was up way up on the highest pulpit and only the priest could read it. So I was very happy when I discovered that there was a Romans and I wasn't going mad. And I read it and it just said to offer myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Oh my goodness, if someone had to decide, someone should have been in the room to disciple me right there and then. But the Holy Spirit was trying to do that. And he did a great job. And he was saying to me, you're already sanctified. You're already pure. I don't even want to go down the rest of the testimony when people said, no, you're not. I want to get back and stay in this truth. And I'm not moving out of it. So I won't even testify of the other stuff. Because I know who I am in Christ. And I know who he is in me. He is awesome. And he always does it well. You know, when he saved you, he saved you. He didn't do a half-baked job. He didn't say, I'm going to change this little bit and that little bit, and when you get to heaven, it'll all be good. He lives on the inside of us now. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. We are already that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And I'm going to finish up with this verse in Colossians 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and that you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Okay, we all know what the word reconciled means. Bought back to him. It says, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. You see, somehow we went back down to earth and we're bouncing back up to heaven and yet we're still on the earth. We're sort of getting that narrative in the book of Revelation. Then we're seeing this in the Gospels and there's a taste of heaven about that. He is really real. He's in you and he is holy. He is pure. If you've got an ear to hear today, then hear what the Spirit is saying to you in the church. Don't hold back waiting until you think that you're good enough. Don't look at your life anymore. So if we can't look at ourselves, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, fix your eyes on Jesus. Everything about you, fix your eyes on Christ. There's nothing worse when you can't get your focus and you're looking in the distance and you're looking up close and you're looking high and you're looking low and it's really tiring, you know, because we just, the church is like that. at the minute. But I believe there's a message coming forth from churches like this in the world. I'm standing in a gathering of believers on the earth today, and this is a Grace church. It's actually his church. And you're the living stones in the middle of it. And he's building you into a temple because, in a sense, you look like him. You sound like him. You act like him. When people come and brush against you and engage with you or even walk into this building, then they're coming in contact with an authentic Christ in you. So I want you to consider yourself today. Consider yourself alive. I want you to present yourself today. To present yourself before God as alive. You might think, Alan, that's a little bit bold. Calm down. You might. But I'm going to tell you something that I heard when I was in Caris. This is true humility. Saying the same thing about yourself as what Christ says about you. That is true humility. So as we're with 5 minutes to go, as we draw to a close, have a think. What's God been saying to you today? Let it settle in your heart. He never lies. And he always blesses you with truth. Whatever he said to you is to edify you and build you up and draw you closer to him. You may never come up to your prayer line. Thank God, if there's no prayer line, we can still get touched. Amen. He can touch you where you're at. He can touch you in the sound booth, brother. You know? Amen. I believe right where you are today that God is touching you right now with that truth. Father, we present ourselves to you. We present ourselves to you as alive from the dead. We present ourselves to you clothed in that garment of righteousness. Thank you, Lord. We see who we are today. It's been revealed in your word. It's good news. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to strive anymore or try anymore, but just rest on the great foundation that you laid. Your reconciliation, Lord, you reconciled us. You brought us to you. Because you already took my old life and you nailed it to the cross. And you covered my nakedness and my shame. And your blood has cleansed me. Your blood has cleansed me from every sin and every stain. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the A to Z, the beginning and the end. You're the God who was, you're the God who is, and the God who is to come. And within that revelation of who you are, you went into my past and you took away all my shame and my sin. You're here today in my present, covering me. Your wounds are speaking. And you're in my future, way down the road, when it's really tough and I'm having the worst day ever. And you're still there. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for your life that you have given to me. Thank you for your life that you've given to all of us. And we sit before you today, saved, healed, and delivered, and safe. We have that abundant life on the inside of us. Thank you, Lord, that as he is, so are we in this world. Thank you, Lord. Powerful truths. For him who has an ear to hear, let him hear. God heard his son jumping into that water to be baptized, and he broke heaven and he said, "This is my Son in whom I am always pleased." And God hears the whisper in your heart, and he hears the words that are flying out of your heart today of commitment, and he says, "I am well pleased with you. I delight in you." And he will quicken you today in your mortal flesh. And we can even present this body to him as a living. When I say living, I mean a brand new creature in Christ, as a living sacrifice unto God. So God, here we are. We're in this room. This is now. This is real in heaven and on earth. And we just release the life of Jesus Christ in this place unto everyone here. I believe the Lord is just pouring out a special blessing, and he's releasing his agape love now on you. So you receive that. It's unconditional. So Father, we do. We release your agape love. It only goes one way. It only pours out, and it always pours out on us because it's for us. It's his love. He is love. God is love. Thank you, Lord, that we can know it and feel it right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't think that I mentioned that he's the director of the Belfast School in Ireland. And I'll tell you what, Ireland is some hard ground to plow. But he's making a huge difference there. It's just amazing. He didn't give us a slide presentation, and I've seen his slides. Man, I'm telling you what, that's some tough ground, and yet he is in the thick of it. And he's getting the job done. He is really, people are graduating from the college. They're getting discipled. They're able to go out and begin to start churches. They're beginning to make an impact in Ireland. Came here for a director's conference with all the other directors. And I just wanted to help him pay, because he had to pay his own way to come here. And I just want to support him. And so I'm going to take up another offering for him. What an awesome man of God. I'll tell you what. He's doing a tremendous work over there. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." When we partner with a man, with a prophet of God, somebody who's out there blazing the trails, people are out there that are hitting the street and making a difference. When we partner with that, you get the same reward that he gets. What an offer. That's Jesus said that. What an offer. What, you know, I mean, who wouldn't want in on that? But he's making an awesome difference. He is a man of God. He is a prophet of God. And we need to be in on what he's doing. What a testimony that is to us that a man can take his calling, rise up with it, and see God move. I mean, I saw the picture of the walls. I mean, they're, how many feet in the air are those walls? 60-foot high walls to separate the Catholics from the Protestants. And they got to shut the gates and bar the gates and lock them up, and I had to keep the separation at night so there's no foolishness that goes on between the two and whatnot. I mean, that's tough ground. And for him to be able to minister, and I mean, you're ministering to both, aren't you? He's able to take the Catholics and the Protestants and bring them together into the school and mentor and teach them. That's teaching a new generation how to come together. That's an important ministry right there. And we don't see that so much here. We don't understand that here, but there, that is huge. Not many are able to make that kind of breakthrough. So truly, this is a ministry worth supporting. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for Alan. We thank you that in the midst of the hard ground there is there, that he has chosen to stand up and be a man of God and to believe the impossible, that you could bring the Catholics and the Protestants together and give them the grace message and be so powerful that then these students now can take that message, that Catholic and Protestant believers can go now back to their people and share this grace message. What an impact that Ireland is getting right here. Wow, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just pray a blessing over this college, Lord. Pray a blessing over the instructors, all the teaching that's going on there, over Alan. And Lord, that it be a special anointing that they're able to reach more and more and more people. And they are reaching even outside the college, and they're going to the streets and they're sharing Jesus and the grace message, and people are receiving it. They're hungry for it. Thank you, Lord. Just penetrating past that Catholic barrier and that Protestant barrier and just coming together and saying, this is the grace message, and they're receiving it. Thank you for boldness in their lives to be able to present that message. We thank you, Lord, for this offering. And Lord, we just render ourselves as open vessels unto you, Lord, to be able to support a ministry like this. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to be a part of this ministry today, personally, being able to sow into his ministry. And I pray a hundredfold return to those who are willing to impact Ireland. We give you the praise for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.